Life is now available on Xbox Series X and S, Windows PC. It's also part of Game Pass. Joining me today, the incredible Justin Roiland, who is the creative mind behind this and frankly many other things. Justin, good to see you.
Good to see you. How are you?
I am great. First of all, I have to congratulate you because shipping a game is no small feat. And as I'm sure you've known, you've shipped some in the past, but on your latest endeavor, High on Life, congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's insane. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of amazing, talented people to do.
Tell me a little bit about the journey here. I mean, you're such a, I mean, I hate to say this because I don't want to sound like I'm sucking up, but you're such a driving force in Hollywood. Seems like I was looking at all the projects you've been involved with, and when do you sleep?
I don't know. I get away with some free time and some sleep. I think the key is just partnering with amazing people. I mean, I've said it before, you know, like, and having folks that believe in the vision and are as excited as you are about it, that takes a little bit of some of the weight off of your shoulders, you know, and trusting those folks.
You as CEO of Squanch Games, you've shipped some other games in the past. You know, Trover Saves the Universe. People are familiar with that one, and so forth. But what keeps bringing you back to video games? I mean, you've got successful television projects that are always happening and so forth, but tell me a little bit about video games. Is that just, that's just in your psyche?
I'm a lifelong gamer. Spent a lot of time, you know, reading staying up on gaming news. And, but I think, It initially started with VR and my obsession with VR. And then halfway through, you know, Trover, I kind of realized, holy shit, I have a game. Oh, holy heck. Sorry. Is that? I'm so sorry. Oh, no. Oh, boy. Already right out of the gate. Anyway, I was just like, wow, I have a game studio. And then I started thinking, you know, traditional games and what hasn't been done and what would I want to play. And that's kind of the guiding, you know, force behind the studio is like, what isn't out there that, you know, I or the directors or, you know, like that we would really, really want to play and we would really want to exist. And then for me, like I'll poke around, I'll ask like, is there a game like this? Do you know of any? If there are, let me know. I'll make my list. I'll go play them. And if it's not what I kind of have in my head, that's sort of the dream version of it that I really just want to play, then we move, you know, then we start moving in and figuring it out.
We, you and I chatted when we were at PAX Prime up here in Seattle back in early September, and you showed me a build of the game, and we had a great chat. And I don't want to give out names, but I remember this conversation very distinctly because you and I bonded over this. You said a moment ago, you play a lot of games, and there was a particular game that you and I both played, and I'm not going to, but there was some DLC for that game, and we remember talking about frustrating the movement in that game. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it was interesting because I felt that frustration. You felt that frustration. So you've gone through and played a lot of games where you're like, oh, this mechanic isn't fun or it doesn't work. Tell us about translating those experiences that you've had into making things that do work and that are fun, like in High on Life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of that is subjective, but I think, you know, I'll play a lot of games if they're sort of close to what we're working on. And I just make a ton of notes and I might have positive things to say about certain elements of a particular mechanic. And then I might have alongside the positive, like things I don't like that I would want to change and get really specific about what those are and how I would love to try changing them. And it's a really good, when you're in the early days prototyping and you know, just blue sky, you know, feel all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's really good. It's a good launching off place. Yeah. And a lot of design work on paper, you know, But yeah, I mean, it's like I did that a lot with Trover. I did it with High on Life, where it was like, you know, there's a mechanic we have in game, or many mechanics we have in game. And in some cases they've been done, and it's like, okay, this is an example of like the best of this mechanic if it has been done. But can we tweak it just, you know, a little bit this way or that way, and let's see. And then it's a, you know, a little bit of trial and error. Or like, hey, here's a mechanic that's so cool, but they didn't nail it in a way that was satisfying for me, or here's what I would want to do to really like land that plane and make it, you know,
fun,
perfect for me, but, or fun. Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, and yeah. Fun and just, or fun for me, like where I'm like, this is something that I would really enjoy versus, you know, it's, and not to sit here and sound like we're, you know, I mean, we're very like we're a pretty humble team, and you know, we definitely, you know, we're building on the shoulders of giants, and it's like, you know, you there's so much that has been done really well in the games industry. You know, part of the reason why I built the studio on the back of VR was because it was the Wild West, and there was so much that hadn't been done and that needed to be figured out, that it was just an exciting concept to be a part of that. And so many game ideas still that I have that have not been done by anybody that I would love if just, you know, it's either we're going to make them, maybe, I don't know, right, like if I can convince the team to go back to VR, but, or someone else will. And if they do, I'll be the first one, you know, playing them, you know,
In your latest game, High on Life, you know, Earth's been invaded by a cartel known as the G3. You go through there and you have to basically save humanity using these various weapons. Tell us what it is like coming up with a storyline which is nonlinear. And when I say nonlinear, for those folks that don't understand that, it's your normal television and movies are, it's 22 minutes or 2 hours, and you as the writer or the director are controlling the narrative. Whereas in gaming, the gamer really is at the center and controls when and where and the pacing and so forth. How does that impact how you write and how you create the game and how you look at it versus the medium that you've had another success in, which is the more linear medium?
Oh man, yeah. I mean, it starts out similarly, where you're sort of figuring out the high level of the narrative, assuming your game has one. There's a lot that don't, and they don't need them. They don't all, you know, like there's so many games I love that don't necessarily have that. But so it starts out, you know, high level. What's the story? What's the arc? What's the, you know, if you have you know, character emotional arcs or any of that stuff, what are all of those things? And then once you kind of have that, then it's like, how do you break it up and how do you tell that story in a way that the player is allowed to discover and learn, and what's on the golden path or the, you know, the main, you know, a path of the game that the players really need to know versus what stuff that you can tuck away. And maybe if a bunch of players don't ever discover it, it's not gonna, you know, it's just more awesome stuff to figure out and right, and learn. So I mean, I've said a few times that having the almost being able to lean on really good gameplay kind of takes some of the pressure off of the writing in a weird way. But not in a like, oh, we can be lazy with it, but in more of a psychological freeing feeling where it's like, oh,
The narrative is part of the puzzle, and the mechanics and the gameplay is the other part of the puzzle, and they need to work together like a team, because there's things that the narrative can do that the mechanic can't do and vice versa. So you kind of have to have them be a yin and a yang in some regards.
Yeah. And there's stuff, you know, like with our game where depending on choices players make, you know, like for example, or, you know, depending on what bounty you choose as your first G3 cartel bounty to kind of go after. And yep. we kind of did it in like a Mega Man sort of way where it's like, I'm going to choose my bounty and then that's going to load my level. And then also it's going to determine what Gatling or what the next gun I'm going to rescue is. Yep. And you can do those in either order. And depending on which order you do them in has a huge impact on the second bounty, because that's going to determine what gun, what gun do I have with me?
Yep.
It's really, it's a lot of like extra writing in an effort to push high player story, right. so letting the players experience things differently based off of choices that they've made. And we tried to cram a lot of that into this game, from like bigger things like the order of guns that you get to, some of the larger story elements, down to like little tiny fun comedic things, like, the guys at the slums, if anyone's gotten that far, there's these guys that, they're the gatekeepers to the slums, and they ask you which one's hotter. And right. it's a stupid, dumb little thing, but the entire rest of the game, they remember what choice you made.
Yeah.
And they've got a bunch of different unique dialogue based off of that. And so, and that's all, that's just like fun stuff that I love in games. And, I mean, there's big stuff, small stuff, but it's so much more, with a linear show, it's like, it's gotta be tight. The pacing's gotta be good. The story you're telling needs to really be well thought out. Because it's very passive. The person is sitting and watching, and you really need to bring it with that story. Yeah. Whereas with a game, it's like you want to bring it, but it's a different way of, you want to have the good, solid story characters and all kinds of fun choices that make an impact in what happens later, or callbacks. It's like someone's reaching into the TV show and messing around, and you have to, or you want to have reactions to all of those things that they're messing around with,
and let them have fun with High on Life. I mean, it's now available on Xbox, as we said, Windows, Xbox One, Series X and S, of course, on Game Pass. We're gonna talk about Game Pass in a minute, but it's out now, so I don't want to give too many spoilers, but there's a lot. I've been having people text me about how they're really just enjoying, because it's fun, it's different. It's fun. It's fun and different, yet it feels familiar. To your point, there's a lot of elements from successful games that, and of course, we all remember, we all know what the different quests are, the double jump and things like that, which is a very funny joke. But it's there's a lot of these elements in there, and that's what people are really gravitating towards, is that you have created this world and this framework for us to just go in and have fun with and enjoy the characters and the creativity of you and your team.
Yeah. And I can't emphasize enough how incredible the Squanch team is, and how much of them is in this game, yeah. But yes. And also, It was sort of like thinking about I'm really starved for just a solid single player action adventure game with lock and key, Metroidvania kind of
mechanics,
yeah. Upgrades, traversal mechanic upgrades, weapon upgrades, just, And a fun story, and obviously, we wanted to make something that was funny, or at least to us funny. Obviously, that's subjective, and we knew this was going to be a polarizing game. Like we've known for a long time. We're like, there's going to be people that absolutely love this thing, and then there's going to be people that just hate it for the same reasons the people that love it. It was really just about like, okay, what games do we love? And then what do I really wish existed right now as a gamer Not to say that they don't, because they do. Like, you know, God of War, the new God of War is a great single player, yep, you know, action adventure, third person. You know, they're out there, but we had all these interesting ideas, and we were looking at, you know, things like, you know, the original BioShock and some of the Metroid Prime series, and then what's our version of that? And then different really fun game mechanics that you don't necessarily see a ton in other games. But and then also, you know, ours is very arcadey. It's a very arcadey, you know, it's not an RPG, although there are some, you know,
elements.
Yeah, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's an interesting mixture of all kinds of different stuff. And the dream was, you know, that it's highly accessible and just fun. Like, just the bottom line is, you know, that people can pick it up and have a good time. And if we make people laugh here and there,
then you did a job well done.
Yeah. I mean, even if, you know, we were like, look, not every joke's going to land with everybody, but like, if we can get people to laugh, you know, more often than not, then that's incredible. Yeah.
You've got a few games under your belt, and you said you grew up as a gamer. What's it like being now having one foot on the other side in the development of this and being understanding, like, when you look back on, oh, now I understand why that game is like it is, or when, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because, and I don't know how in the weeds I want to get with this, but sure, as somebody who spent a lot of time on a lot of gaming blogs, reading a lot of gaming news, and still to this day, you know, I get a lot of, you know, I'm like getting my news in different ways, but like, it's interesting because it's like, oh yeah, like I understand why this game shipped before it was ready to ship. There's a lot going on that we just don't know behind the scenes. And I'm sure every story, or every game has got a different story. And I mean, we were up against the gun ourselves. We wanted to push the game, you know, but we couldn't do it. We had to really just hunker down, and it was so funny. I mean, we didn't know. We were like, okay, how polished are we going to be able to get before, you know, the day zero patch?
You have to ship it.
Yeah, we have to ship. You know, not to say that there aren't still things that we want to fix. Luckily, a lot of the things we want to fix are things people won't even notice. Thank God.
Right.
There, you know, there's the occasional that's like, okay, anyone's going to notice. Anyone is going to see this as a bug. You know, this is a weird thing. But most of them are things that you're, unless you knew it was there, you're not going to know that you're missing it, you know? But it's still a thing that we want to continue supporting and pushing patches to get all that stuff, you know, buttoned up. You did the hardest part,
Justin. And that is you and your team. And I have an old, one of my old managers used to tell me this is, and who worked in games, is the most important feature of a game is shipping. And you did it.
Oh, right?
That is most important feature of a game.
As long as you can do it in a way that isn't, that, you know, that's playable, right?
Yeah.
That isn't distracting
right.
for whatever, you know, that. And we did. And it's a huge testament to the team. And again, I mean, you know, our team is very, they are bought into this IP and what we're doing as a studio. And that's a big reason why we got a lot of the fun, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I already blew it earlier, but, that we did in the game, you know, is because the team is really excited and believes in what we're making. And it's crazy what a difference that can make.
I want to talk as a creator. I know you and I talked about this when you were up here in Seattle in the fall. What does Game Pass mean for you as a creator and being involved Pass program?
Yeah, I did a lot of research with Game Pass before
Tell me about
before
it.
we Well, before we decided to pull the trigger on it, I spoke with a handful of other studio, you know, folks who did Game Pass, and I ultimately came to the conclusion, based off of what I had heard, that it's a value add, because essentially there's a lot of people that would otherwise not have picked up the game and played it. And those people, if you believe in what you've made and you really, you know, you feel confident that you've made something special or different, or, and we do with our game, yeah. Those folks can become evangelists in a way for the title. You know, it's in a way, it's like really good marketing. You know what I mean? It's like really good. I mean, you know, not to sound too, but I mean, you know, it's true. It's like, it's sitting there. It's the reach that Game Pass has, the subscriber numbers you guys have. It's a powerful tool to get a lot of reach. If you really do believe you made something, you know, worthwhile, it's a pretty powerful tool. And then that's sort of what I gathered in doing my due diligence on it, on my own. A lot of folks told me that, you know, non Game Pass games, that they shipped versus Game Pass games, 7x, you know, sales,
right?
Not to get in the weeds of, you know, sure, that kind of stuff, but I mean, that was a consideration, because it's like, you know, we are an indie studio, we're small, and we do want a war chest to make a bunch more fun, crazy games. And that was a thing that was of consideration for us. It's like, okay, you know, we really want this game to get out there. We want it to do well. We want sales to do well. And, I think that, yeah, I mean, you know, from what I gathered in my little poking around and asking different folks, Game Pass was a huge value add in that respect.
Yeah, it's funny because people think about it and they're like, well, Game Pass, they're like, well, what's the gotcha, right? You know, and it turns out, you know, at the end of the day, it's a great, to your point is what you said, it's a great way for you to get broad exposure and coverage for your title and get people talking about it very quickly at that matter.
Yeah, yeah, and continued conversation. And I think, you know, again, just more people, like, you know, if someone's sort of like on the fence or like, you know, raising an eyebrow, what is this thing?
Right.
And if they're a Game Pass subscriber, well, they can just download it and dive in. And I really do feel that.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, no, I was going to say, I do feel that we'll win them over. I feel like, you know, we really took a lot of thought and time into the pacing of the game. And, and also just, you know, like there's some games that I adore where I could not tell you what the story is or what my characters, you know, what is the, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I adore the game. And I'm not going to say there's one right. That's at the tip of my tongue, but you know, there's a lot of those and I, you know, ours is not that. Ours is very clear and, yeah. You know, from the macro down to the micro, you know, you know exactly what you're doing. And I don't know, there's something really, really, really incredible about that from a foundational standpoint, to being able to build a lot of cool, fun stuff on top of, yeah, narratively and interactive. And there's so many, oh my God, there's so many like off the golden path things in this game that people are going to continue to be discovering for months. Which is not the norm. You know, usually it's like, okay, we've got to really focus on the primary golden path, you know, and we have so much stuff that's like, we could have cut
right
a lot of it. But, and again, the reason that all made it in is just the passion of the team. And,
well, it's
truly, I think, yeah,
they've done such a great job. And I just want to point out, and I know I need to let you go in just a moment, but you know, I've been playing the game a few hours in, and your game, much like you probably have done, and I and people listening and watching the show, you know, when you're in an open world and you're going along, you kind of want to go down that alleyway to see what the designers put in there. You know, the question always is, does the toilet flush? You know, things like those questions.
Oh, sure, yeah, you know? Yeah. And I mean, listen, I'm I always want more. I'm like, can we get more in? You know, like I wish, but we did a lot. We did a lot. But yeah, I'm the kind of player that when I'm bought into a game right away and I'm like, okay, I'm really like a good example would be like Fallout 3.
Yeah.
There's others, there's plenty, but like, sure. That's just as an example, I am taking my time. I'm poking around. I'm kind of going around the edges of the map. You know, I want to see everything. And see what did they think players might do and what kind of response did they build in? I think I'm allergic to something in here. Sorry. No, it's okay.
I know I need to let you go, but you bring that up about Fallout and games like yours and games with these very rich environments. What I love is when you find those moments and you sit there and sometimes you put the controller down and watch the silly dialogue or what have you.
Oh,
but,
sure. Yeah.
But you can feel the passion. We've all played those games that have that soul that comes through in the dialogue and the environment and the experience. And wait a minute, did that just happen? And you start laughing. And I love those. And that's what your game feels like. That's what High on Life feels like. You can feel the passion of your team, you and your team. And
thank
frankly,
you.
Everybody.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. That's a really high compliment. And I know the team is going to love hearing that because they are very passionate. And I'm just super grateful. It's mind blowing. I got to be honest. Cause yeah, like you said, lifelong gamer, and here I am with the studio of amazing, talented people. And it's just like, that believe in me, in my vision and believe in my crazy ideas that are able to, yeah, that just get really passionate about them. And and then just plus them, just add so much amazing stuff. So yeah, it's surreal. And we're just really proud of it. Yeah.
Well, I want you to know I've still got, you know, you gave me one of your cards when we were in.
Oh yeah. 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 I'm still curious. So those are like, you know, we gave those out at PAX at the Limited Run booth. And then there was another, I can't remember. There's another spot where they were given out. And, we shuffled in a bunch of like signature cards and like, you know, art cards.
Yeah.
And
they're beautiful.
It's interesting. I'm curious, like, if those are going to ever end up on eBay or what the story is going to happen there. But
I'll tell you mine is, but I want to thank you for that. But I also want to thank you and again, your team at Squanch Games for High on Life, available now on Windows, Xbox. It's available on Game Pass. You guys, congratulations on shipping the game. Congratulations on
thank
the success.
You.
We're looking forward. I know you just shipped a game, and I will not be that person who says, "Oh, what's next? When can we expect?" Because I know you're just I mean, exhaling, so I don't want to do that to you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's stuff, but we can't talk about it yet. But
we'll have you back on to talk about it. Would you come back on?
Okay. Yeah, of course, happily. Oh, yeah,
it's such a
big fan. I remember E3 has always been. I mean, it's sad that it's sort of like scattered now, but like that was like my Christmas and summer. You know, I would take the week off for E3 and just like watch it in my pajamas. And
right.
I remember you on E3. It's just crazy. But anyway, yeah.
Well, I want, you know, whenever we do the next E3, whatever we do, I want to make sure you come by and join us in person. You can wear your pajamas, but feel free to join us in person.
Okay. I will. I'll wear my pajamas. I'll be all comfy.
Yeah. Just sitting up there. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Justin Roiland, the CEO of Squanch Games and everything else that we love. High on Life, available now. Congratulations to you and the team. And we'll catch up with you later, Justin. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.